Hello and welcome. I'm Peggy Nolan, your host of Henzo Gracie New Hampshire Podcasting. Led by Kevin Landry, Henzo Gracie New Hampshire is the premier Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Power Fitness Academy in New England, with locations in Exeter and Salem, New Hampshire. Whether you want to train for fitness or train to compete, Henzo Gracie New Hampshire is the place to be. Call 603-777-2775 to schedule a tour of our facilities today. Hello and welcome. Today's guest, it's quite an honor to have Hollis Gracie with us today. He is a third-degree black belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and an instructor at Henzo Gracie Academy in New York. Hollis has a silver medal in ADCC World Championship, No-Gi American National Super Heavyweight Champion. He is a No-Gi Pan American Champion, three-time Pan American champion, ranked number one in North America. I think we get the drift. This guy is awesome. So welcome to the first ever Henzo Gracie New Hampshire podcast, Hollis.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you. Thanks for the introduction. It's a pleasure talking to you and an honor as well. And thanks to everybody that is listening, everybody from New Hampshire, all our extended jiu-jitsu family over there.
Oh, they love you. They love the Gracie family. Big fans. I am too. So this is awesome. So we're going to go ahead and get started. What I did, Hollis, is we kind of asked some questions around Kevin's team, and they actually came up with some great questions to ask you for this interview. So we're going to just go ahead and get started. And they would like to know what it was like growing up in the Gracie family and being trained by your uncle.
Well, it is. I consider myself really lucky, you know, to be born in the family that I did, and to be a part of this world, the jiu-jitsu world. And because if I probably wasn't born in this family, I was probably be pursuing the same path. I'll be, you know, bothering my mom since a little kid to sign me up in a jiu-jitsu school and train, and because I'll probably want to become a black belt the same way and train and achieve things that I achieved. So, you know, being born in this family actually it made it easier for me, you know. And it was amazing, you know, to experience the jiu-jitsu experience, like, in first hand. And
yes.
So it was something amazing. So, you know, it's, I think words cannot really describe, you know. But
it's truly in your blood.
Yes, you know, I remember since a little kid, you know, the way my uncles did and taught me, not only myself, my brothers, my cousins, like, it was something very organic, you know, like seeing with playing and being a part of it, like traveling with them. You know, I remember since after my father's passed, you know, I was traveling with my Uncle Helion, and he was taking me to his ranch in the mountains. We were riding horses, and, you know, in between, like, talking about, you know, jiu-jitsu and, you know, the concept and philosophy of the family. So it was a great experience.
Right. So philosophically or otherwise, what was the most important thing that you've learned from your family?
Well, it's the most, if I can say just one thing that I can say, it's definitely hierarchy. Because, you know, it's very common these days for young people not to respect so much the elders. They think they know everything, and
right.
I think jiu-jitsu gave me the sense of hierarchy, respecting the elders, that the most senior people on the mat or in general, in the gym, in the academy, they always have something to teach you, You know, even though, despite not only as the, when I was a kid, but once I grew up and I became a man with man strength and with knowledge and became a good athlete, even though that was like physically strong, I'm still learning from the most senior people in the gym. Like my uncles, they're older than me, and sometimes even though that I'm physically stronger, that doesn't make me better than anybody. You know, so I still have lots to learn. It's not the law of the jungle where the strong, you know, survival of the fittest. You know, so it's that's what, to me, the most important thing that I learned through jiu-jitsu.
That's such I love the message to have that respect for your elders and the people who have gone before us, the wisdom that they can share, even though they may no longer have the strength to submit you or beat you, they have the wisdom to win.
Exactly.
Right.
And they earn the respect through their wisdom to the, you know, sometimes wrinkles and gray hair. You know, it means experience. You
it
know?
Does.
So we all have to benefit. And sometimes these kids these days, they don't think they have a lot to learn. They know everything. So it's once they realize that they have, everybody has something to learn from an older person, you know, the world will be, we track towards a better future.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So with that said, you've learned a lot from your family, and your family has a way of, you know, sharing their message, the sport and their love for jiu-jitsu. But is there one thing that you wish they kind of kept inside the family and maybe not have spread?
Well, to be honest, not really. I think my father used to think also that you're supposed to share everything, you know, no, you're not holding back. And I'm the same way, because it's actually, if you're holding things back, you're actually holding the evolution of the sport. You know,
good point.
These days, you know, jiu-jitsu is evolving so much, and, you know, and people having resources, sometimes even lower-ranked guys, they have resources to think about it and create new things. You know, it happens all the time that my students of mine, they show me something, like different concepts, and I work with them, and we develop and make and adjust things, you know. So, like, if things were kept a secret, maybe we wouldn't be where we are these days. You know, and my father was a believer of that.
That is such a good point. I actually, while you were talking about it, I wrote it down, and I hope everybody else who listens to this writes that one down. That is, it just, you share everything so that you don't hold the sport back. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Exactly. Imagine scientists were holding things back.
Right.
You know, you're not sharing. So, like, the world will be, like, you know, not so evolved.
Right. And the whole world becomes a better place. Right.
Yes.
So, that said, when would you actually start, you know, bringing somebody up in jiu-jitsu? What would you tell a parent if a parent was interested in starting their child to train in this amazing sport?
Well, I can say to start jiu-jitsu is never too soon, is never too late, you know? So, I mean, of course, when it comes to a child, we have to, you know, as soon as they're ready with some basic motor skills, and you know, some understanding of following directions, I think it's good enough. You know, like some will have some programs that, you know, can take kids you know, as early as 3 years old.
Wow.
You know, depending on the child. You know, some kids they have, you know, they can start earlier than others. But I'll say, if I have to say an average, you know, around 4 or 5 years old, you know, like it's good. It's a good enough age to start. You know,
that's
of
awesome.
Course, for these kids, they're going to learn jiu-jitsu by playing. Sometimes they're not even going to realize that they're learning things,
right.
You know.
It's not like when you start when you're 50 like I did.
But like I said, you know, it's never too soon, it's never too late.
It's never,
you know?
Too late, I know.
Jiu-jitsu
that's
for
whole
everybody.
Never too late thing. The whole never too late thing was really kind of, you know, good for me to hear. And I think good for all of us other middle-aged people to hear that you really are never too old to learn something. You know, I'll be
exactly.
honest, I was a little scared, right, because I was like, I don't want to roll with sweaty guys. You know, it was intimidating because the jiu-jitsu is different from Muay Thai, and I've been practicing Muay Thai for like 8 years. There's that whole, you're close. Everybody's close. Somebody's sitting on top of you. But so what would you tell, say, a woman who is interested in self-defense but is kind of intimidated, like I was in the beginning. I kind of sucked it up and I said, just go do this. But, you know, she's looking at something, but what would you say to her about jiu-jitsu?
Well, yes, I agree. Jiu-jitsu can be very intimidating for not only for a woman, for somebody who's not, like, very fond of close contact, you know?
Right.
But especially for women, you know, it's a little more challenging, you know, for them to start training. But there are ways, you know, you can always start slower, working more, because jiu-jitsu is much broader than what a lot of people think. Some people, it's very easy for people to think that jiu-jitsu is just about, you know, rolling around on the mats on the floor and sitting on top of each other, like you said, but jiu-jitsu is much broader than that. Jiu-jitsu has all these different parts. There is some, the self-defense part of jiu-jitsu that involves punches and defense of punches and all these things. So I would definitely start with women on that part, you know, on the part of, like, on the mostly on the stand-up, getting rid of, you know, wrist grabs, neck grabs, and stuff like that at first. So they slowly feel more comfortable. I think that's the way to start.
Right. I mean, I'm just going to share a tiny little story, but one of the things that I really didn't believe at first was that, you know, jiu-jitsu uses leverage, and it's really for the smaller person and or the weaker person because it does use leverage, right? And I'm not mechanically inclined, and I don't understand leverage all that well, right? But the first time that I rolled somebody twice my size and at least 100 pounds more than me over and on the ground, I went, oh, there's something to this leverage thing.
Yes, definitely. So that's
it was a very... Very eye-opening. It was very empowering, too. So for the ladies who are listening and who are kind of on the fence about this, take a class. It's so empowering to know that I can break out of a wrist grab. I can break out of somebody trying to choke me. And I'm notorious for escaping arm bars because, and I'll only say it once, because of yoga. I have very flexible shoulders.
Nice.
So... it's very empowering, so I do encourage women to try it, and because they might like it.
I think the women, jiu-jitsu is like the most important for women.
It's
very important for them, and everybody should give it a try.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and I honestly wish I could meet you in person this weekend, but you'll be here and I'll be someplace else.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure I'll go back there, you know.
You're coming back in April, I believe, so yeah. how would you compare, or is there any comparison, with jiu-jitsu against some other martial arts, you know, taekwondo, karate, Muay Thai? How do you see it all fitting together?
Well, you know, as we all know, jiu-jitsu is like, you know, the being a part of jiu-jitsu, like, you know, based on leverage, on, you know, close quarter combat. And, you know, the other one is, like, you know, the striking martial arts, like karate, Muay Thai, you know, I think they're all great. They all have, every martial art has something to teach us, you know, how can benefit from many martial arts. But I think when it comes to striking might not just be for anyone. You know, like a woman can easily punch someone, especially a man, and break her hand or break her wrist, especially
correct,
when it comes to self-defense. You know, so I think I think it's good for a woman to know how to strike and get used to it. But when it comes to if she can solely depend on it to survive on the streets, let's put it this way, in the case of an attack, you know, it might not be everything that she needs. She might not have everything
right
that she needs. You know. So jiu-jitsu gives the extra, you know, when a lot of times, not only for women, but, you know, if we see, like, a lot of times in fights, street fights and attacks, it all comes to the clinch and
yep,
people fall on the ground. And
yep,
that's when we get, you know, people start swimming in the waters.
Yep, I totally agree. Like I said, I've been practicing Muay Thai for going on 8 years now, and I always joke around in class, yeah, I'm good for one kick, and then after that, we're going to the ground, and I'm 5'3", and I will spar against my brother, who always beats me because he's 6 feet tall, but in jiu-jitsu, it's a little different. I can handle myself
yeah,
a little better.
Yes, it's exactly. So a woman might land a perfect punch on a man, and not make a lot of damage because of difference
right
of strength. So you might even upset your attacker even more. So you know, so it's, I think it's important to learn how to get yourself free from these situations, you know, clean.
Yes, I totally agree. So that leads me kind of to my next question, because we know that in the close quarters of a fight, whether it's you're just doing it in class, and I don't even want to call it a fight, you're training.
Yes.
People get nervous. There's panic. I mean, I remember when I first started training, it was just like, oh, my God, I was so overwhelmed. And one of the great questions that came from one of Kevin's students is, the instructors are always saying, relax, 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 right? I know my
mm-hmm
answer to this question, but it's how do you train people to relax when everything in their body is telling them and it is putting them in panic mode?
Yes, you know, I see that all the time. I have senior students, you know, purple, brown belt, and sometimes even black belt, they still can't relax. But it's a major issue, and an issue that holds people back a lot. You know, but people need to understand that you're there to learn stuff. You're not there to beat anybody. You're
right
there to improve yourself. So I think the best way to relax is to remove all the pressure from yourself, the need to beat someone, to beat your training partner. You know, you're there, you need to listen to your instructor. You need to try to attempt and execute the moves that you were taught in class just as they were. Sometimes people, when they're practicing the moves, they're doing perfectly, executing perfect technique. When it comes to go live, it looks like technique goes out the window. They just want to use their strength and athleticism. So I think, you know, they, like I said, they need to relax and they need to try to execute the moves. If things don't go as they wish, what's the worst that can happen? The guy may
right
pass your guard, mount you, tap you, put a submission hold at UTEP, and that's it. You know,
right.
you got a chance to practice again. So, you know, so if you relax, you check your ego at the door. And
I love it.
I think you're gonna be people are gonna evolve a lot more.
Right. One of the tips that I gave myself was, and I don't even know if I gave it to myself. Maybe I heard it from Kevin or somebody else that I was training with. Was as long as you can breathe, you can relax. As long as you can breathe, you can relax. So take in a deep breath. Give yourself a second to think about what you're gonna do next, and you're fine.
Exactly.
That worked for me.
I do a little bit of yoga myself, and sometimes I feel that if I'm all tied up there and thinking, because when we don't have technique, we tend to use whatever else we have, which sometimes, you know, it might be strength, and we tend to tie it up and forget to breathe. So I think, yes, Peggy, you know, that's a great advice. You need to figure out to breathe. And every time I'm in yoga and I realize I'm breathing, I'm being able to do the poses and the postures better.
Yeah, and the same thing with jiu-jitsu. As long as I could breathe, I could do jiu-jitsu better.
Yes, it's definitely, it's for sure. You need to breathe. When you breathe, you calm your heart rate down. You think better. You're not just reacting. You
right.
need to think. That's important, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about the evolution of jiu-jitsu, and obviously it's evolved quite a bit since your family first began this wonderful thing. Where do you see it actually evolving to in the next 15 to 20 years?
Well, it's a very hard question to answer, but you know, jiu-jitsu is evolving so much. You know, it's I'm in an age that I see a lot of the modern jiu-jitsu. You know, I'm 36 years old, and I've been training since I realized I was a person. So I've seen a lot. And, of course, jiu-jitsu changes. It's like even like the guys older, the generation above mine or two generations above mine, they're having a hard time to keep up, not to keep up, but to understand this new jiu-jitsu. And a lot of times they're like, you know, they're like, they don't, not a, how can I say, not against, but they're like, have a resistance against this new evolution. But, you know, that's the natural thing, you know, everything is going to evolve in life. And
right.
We're always going to have that things, oh, in my time used to be great, but now it's, you know, so that's human beings. But the sport's going, it's evolving on a beautiful way. Now the competitors are much better athletes. They're working everything. Before was, you know, people wasn't so focused on athleticism. They were just looking to work the technique. But when the sport grows and everybody's practicing a lot, everybody has the same knowledge, the bad athletes are going to start to excel.
Right.
So I think it's evolving towards a way, you know, very technical people and very athletic. So it's great for the sport. Because,
yeah,
you know, I remember at the beginning people think that, say that jiu-jitsu athletes are lazy. So I don't think they can say that anymore.
No. No. I've trained with some really great people. They're not lazy at all.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know that you're one of the lead instructors at Hensel Gracie in New York. And I do have a question about what you think makes a good jiu-jitsu instructor and what you would tell somebody new or what you would advise somebody who's new and looking at the sport to train in. What should they be looking for in an instructor?
Well, I think they need to look for an instructor, a teacher, a professor who cares. You know, they need to see that person, that's, to me, that's the most important thing, you know, to care. You need to care about your students, you know, legitimately. You know, and once you care, it's everything gets easier. You know, you're gonna always look forward to make that person, that student better. You're gonna keep your mind open for new things. So caring is the most important thing for instructor. If the guy is, then that's what the new student should look for. They should look for an extended family. They just shouldn't be looking for a place to that has a great workout.
Yeah, they can go to the gym for that, right?
Yes, exactly. They have treadmills, they have, you know, aerobics class, and, you know, so you need to find a place that the instructor really cares about the student and treat them like family.
I love that. And I do know that just about every student of Kevin Landry's would say that about him. He genuinely cares about his students, and he does have an extended family there. So
exactly.
Everybody's welcome, right?
Nice. And a person who cares will go the extra mile for the loved ones. You know, a mother will go many thousands of extra miles for their children. You know, so that's because she cares and she loves them. I think I feel the same way.
Yeah. That's a great piece of advice for anybody who's looking to train jiu-jitsu, is to really find an instructor, professor who genuinely cares about you as a person. So,
yeah, for sure.
So I know our time is winding down just a little bit, so I do want to ask you, Hollis, is there three tips that you would have for students of Kevin that you would like, you know, pieces of advice that you'd like to leave them with?
Well, we talked a little bit about it in the interview, but I just want to, you know, pinpoint and rephrase and make sure it gets in their head. First thing is to relax, to breathe,
yeah.
to check your ego at the door, you know, real understand that you, when you walk in, you step in the mat, you're there to get better, not to beat anyone. And number two is probably like, be there, not just for yourself, but for your training partners as well. Because if you're just there for yourself, you're pretty much only going to be learning from one person, which is the instructor of the class. But if everybody there, it's there for each other, you're going to have, instead of just one teacher, you're going to have many in class. So that's a very important mindset to be in the mats. And entry, and, you know, just don't put pressure on yourself. Just enjoy. Spend time on the mat. That's have fun. So those three, to me, that's a very, very three important advice.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. If you can't have fun, why would you do it?
Yes. That's the whole purpose of life. Enjoy and have fun.
Enjoy and have fun. Well, thank you, Hollis. I so appreciate the time you took out of your busy schedule to spend a little time with this interview for Kevin's students and anybody else who might come to his website and say, oh, Hollis, great, you did an interview. This is awesome. And listening, I think you've given some amazing advice and amazing tips. And I know people who are going to train with you this upcoming weekend definitely look forward to it. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was an honor and a pleasure talking to you guys, and I'm looking forward to be there.
Okay. This was the first ever Kenzo Gracie New Hampshire podcast, and our guest was Hollis Gracie. Thank you very much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.